I'm going to read this evening the first 12 verses of Luke's Gospel and the chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and reading together the first 12 verses. Luke chapter 23 and the verse 1, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We find this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. The chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. The same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 12. Trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our heart. Amen. Would you turn, please, to Luke chapter 23, and then we'll ask the Lord to bless the preaching of his word to our hearts. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that sinners, defiled, unclean, wretched and condemned in thy sight, can be saved by the grace of God. We thank you the invitation is to the whosoever will. It's not to the self-righteous. It's not to the religious. It's not to the moral man only, but it is to whosoever will, the rich, the poor, the defiled, the self-righteous. Lord, we pray that men and women tonight will hear the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost." Lord, I have nothing to say of myself. I need thee to give me utterance, that I may proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Portion of scripture that we read together this evening brings us to the time just before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was tried in the court of man. There were four trials that the Lord endured. He was brought firstly before the Jewish Sanhedrin when he was tried by the high priests. He was then ushered very early in the morning to Pontius Pilate. Pilate, examining him, sent the Lord to Herod, and then Herod sent Jesus back again to Pontius Pilate. And the portion that we read brings us to that time when the Lord Jesus was standing before Herod. He was sent there by Pontius Pilate because Pilate had heard that Jesus was of Galilee. You will see that in verse 7. As soon as he knew that he belonged under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was at Jerusalem at that time. Pontius Pilate thought this was his opportunity to wriggle off the hook that he was on. For Pilate knew that Jesus was an innocent man.
he did not want to go against his own conscience in condemning him and putting him to death, but the Jews were pressing him to put the Lord to death, saying that they would slate him before Caesar, and that they would send a bad report to Caesar if he refused. And when he heard Jesus was from Galilee, he thought that he could send him to Herod. Herod could judge him, and he would get out of making that decision. He would find out later on, when the Lord came back to him, that he could not be neutral. And my friend tonight, you cannot be neutral. You cannot get off, as it were, the hook of making a decision about the Lord Jesus Christ. You will either receive him or you will reject him. But when the Lord appeared before Herod, Herod was actually glad to see the Lord Jesus and to have the Lord before him. He had heard many things about Jesus of Nazareth, and he had heard about his mighty ministry. He had heard about his many miracles. In fact, he wanted and he hoped, verse 8 tells us, that he would see Jesus perform a miracle. He hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Herod had this idea that the Lord's miracle working ministry was for nothing more than public entertainment, and that he would stand and watch as Jesus healed the sick, or opened the eyes of the blind, or raised the dead, or turned the water into wine. The Lord didn't perform a miracle, because his public ministry was not for the entertaining of sinners. It was for the bringing of men and women to Christ and proving his messiahship. There is still an attitude today that the worship and work of the Lord is for nothing more than the entertainment of those who profess the Lord. And that's why we have so many contemporary churches that have embraced modern music and have brought that type of thing into the church, because it's merely using the name of the Lord as a form of entertainment that will gather people under the influence, they will say, of the Lord Jesus Christ. When people were looking the Lord Jesus, when Herod was looking the Lord to entertain him, the Lord refused. Because the Lord does not intend his worship or his work to be used to entertain the flesh. And so he refused. But as Herod continued to question the Lord, and it tells us that he questioned him with many words, the Savior, we are told, responded by answering him nothing. Do you see it in verse 9? Then he questioned, that is, Herod questioned Jesus in many words, but he answered him nothing. The Savior was silent. He had nothing to say unto Herod. It is the only one of the four trials where the Lord Jesus did not respond in any way verbally. Whenever the Lord Jesus was accused before the high priest, we read in Matthew 26 and 64, he told the high priest, "Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power of God." In John 18 and 19, we read that when he was tried of Pontius Pilate, John 18, 36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight." In John 19 and 11, he said, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." The Lord had something to say to the high priest. He had something to say to Pilate, but he uttered not a word, not one word. Did he say to King Herod? He asked him many things, many questions, but not one sentence, not one word, not one syllable did the Lord answer?
He answered him nothing. Nothing to say to this man. The silence of the Savior. And I want to say tonight very solemnly before the Lord that when Jesus does not speak to your soul, you are in trouble. When the Lord has nothing to say to you, I fear for your soul. When the Lord stops speaking to man, those individuals are as good as in hell. Because when God stops speaking to souls, I tell you there's great meaning in it. Tonight I want to take up this theme, the silence of the Savior to Herod. And I want to set before you three truths about the silence of Christ. When Jesus has nothing to say to sinners. And I want you firstly to consider the reason for Christ's silence. Why was Jesus silent to King Herod? In Psalm 28 and verse 1, we read these words. I want you to listen to them carefully. The psalmist in Psalm 28 and verse 1 said this, "Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." And that David is saying, Lord, don't stop speaking to me. The mark of God's children is that God speaks to them. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Those that are redeemed, those that are saved, those that are walking with the Lord, God speaks to them through His Son and through the Word. And David saying, Lord, don't stop speaking to me. Why?
He said, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Do you notice what David's saying? The mark of the unregenerate man, the mark of the unsaved soul, the mark of the man who ends up in hell is that God doesn't speak to him or God stops speaking to him. Those that God stops speaking to go down into the pit and their soul is lost in hell. I believe with Herod, he had come to that point in his life where he had crossed the deadline as far as his soul was concerned. God had given him opportunity in the past to get right with him. He heard God's word, the invitations, the exhortations, the warnings. God had given him opportunity to do what was right by his soul and call upon the Lord and trust in Him and be saved. But His day of opportunity had now passed.
He would not. And he could not be saved. And therefore the Lord had nothing to say.
It was that time in his personal experience that occurred in the days of Noah, when the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And when God withdraws the strivings of His Spirit, showing men their sin, revealing Christ, inviting them to be saved, when God withdraws those strivings of the Spirit, that individual is as good as lost. And when he stops his spirit striving, the Son stops speaking. When that happens in the life of an individual, they could live for another 100 years. If God has nothing more to say to a sinner, they'll be lost. Can I tell you when I think her had crossed the deadline as far as her soul was concerned? Just turn back in the Gospels to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, I want you to take note from verse 20 to verse 26. We'll not read all these verses, but let me highlight a number of them to you. Just look at Mark 6, verse 20. Tells us, for Herod feared John. Herod has heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, the many miracles he's performing, and he thinks that John has risen again from the dead. It says in verse 20, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and he heard him gladly. What a verse this is in the life of Herod. He heard of John the Baptist. He watched John the Baptist. He observed him. He knew that he was a holy man of God. He knew that he was a prophet sent of the Lord. And he invited him into the palace, to the royal court. And he listened to him preach. And it tells us at the end of verse 20, he heard him gladly. If you study John's ministry, you discover that John had a far-reaching ministry as far as the subjects that he preached were concerned. He preached about the wrath of God, flee from wrath to come. Preached about judgment for sin. The Bible tells us he preached about the law of God. He said to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife. Herod, you're a sinner. You've broken the seventh commandment. You're in an adulterous and an incestuous relationship. And before God, it's sin. He preached about his sin. He preached about judgment. He preached about the Lamb. For at the banks of Jordan, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is the only one that can forgive your sin and take it away and make you right with God. I've no doubt he preached all those things to Herod. And Herod brought him in and he listened to him. And he observed him. He heard the message of the gospel. And he heard him gladly. And I believe with all my heart that God would have spoken to him through the ministry of John. He heard the warnings, the exhortations, and the invitations. Behold the Lamb. Get right with God through the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Yet Herod put it off. God spoke, and he didn't respond. Does that describe someone in the meeting this evening? God has spoke to you in the past. You know it's been the Lord, and yet you haven't responded. For one reason or another, I believe with Herod it was a sinful lifestyle. He wasn't prepared to give up Herodias. He wasn't prepared to do what was right and abandon his sin. And he put it off. And maybe that's you. There's some sin in your life and God has spoken to you, but you won't give up that sin to come to Christ. I have a warning for you tonight. There came a day in Herod's experience. It was his birthday. And he called in all his friends and all the important people in his realm. And I have no doubt the drink was flowing. No doubt it was a party like unto the party in Daniel chapter 5 and Esther chapter 1. The drink was flowing. These important people were making merry. And in comes Herodias' daughter. And she dances in an immoral and a lustful way before him. And out of his mouth he utters this stupid promise. I give you the half of the kingdom, whatever you ask. Herodias had charged her. ask for the head of John the Baptist, the man of God, on a silver charger. Look at verse 26. The king was exceeding sorry yet for the oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And now he's put on the spot. He's either going to choose to do what is right by God. He's going to favor the prophet. He's going to favor the Lord. He's going to reject this wicked notion. Or he's going to give in to the sin and unjustly condemn the man of God to death. And for the oath's sake, and for those sitting with him, those important people, his friends, he wouldn't deny his word. And he sent John to his death to be beheaded. And I believe at that time, I believe that was his crossroads in life, his spiritual crossroads. I believe that was his day of destiny. I believe that was his final opportunity. And I believe that because he chose sin and rejected the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he met him, had nothing more to say and never spoke to him again. My friend, there comes a point in your life, I believe, where the Lord, he's spoken to you in the past and he will speak to you again. But there comes a time in a man or a woman's life when the Lord puts them on the spot and for the final time gives the opportunity to get right with God. And I tell you, if you reject it, the Lord will never speak to you again. I can't tell you when that is in your experience. I can't tell you when it will be, but I know from Scripture there comes a point in a man's life when he will commit what the Bible says is the unpardonable sin. He will reject the Lord for the last time, and at that point the Savior will have nothing more to say. And that soul is marked for hell. How important it is that when the Lord speaks to you, you respond. You believe the gospel. You call unto the Lord and get right with him. That's the reason why the Lord was silent. I want you to notice, secondly, this evening, turn back to Luke chapter 23. I want you to see, secondly, tonight, the response to Christ's silence. The response when Jesus came at first before Herod. Herod had many questions. Verse 9 tells us that he questioned him in many words. We're not told what he asked. He may have asked, was he the Lamb of God that John preached about? He might have asked about the law of God. He might have asked about the miracles. Is it really true? You've raised the dead, healed the sick, banished sickness from Canaan. We're not told what questions he asked. We can only speculate. But when Jesus remained in silence, the true heart of Herod was revealed. What happened? He perceived the Lord would have nothing to do with him and had rejected him, and Herod's attitudes and actions are summed up in two ways. First of all, he responded with derision. Look at verse 11. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, sent him again to Pilate. Do you notice they set him at naught and mocked him? They mocked his kingship. They put on him that gorgeous robe, the robe of kings. They dressed him in king's apparel, and yet to Herod he was his plaything. But they also mocked his claims. Look at that little phrase, and this is an important phrase. They set him at naught. They treated him as nothing. Oh, he claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed to be the Savior of sinners. They treated him as nothing and as a nobody, when he was, in fact, the Son of God sent into the world for our salvation. That phrase, set at naught, sums up how men act toward God when the Lord passes them by and stops speaking to their soul. Listen to the words of Solomon in Proverbs 1 and 25. It's really the words of the Lord through Solomon, but God said, ye have set at naught all my counsel. Counted God's word, God's reproofs, God's invitations, God's exhortations, counted them as nothing. You've set at naught all my counsel. My word, you've treated as nothing. Proverbs 1 and 28, the Lord went on to say this, then shall he call on me, and I will not answer. I will be silent. There'll come a day, the mocker and the scorner and the scoffer, when their fear comes, and they may call upon the Lord. The Lord will have stopped speaking. He'll answer them nothing. When they call, he will not respond. God is finished with them. I will not answer. And I am saying to you tonight, do not despise, do not deride, do not mock the Son of God. Do not count him as nothing. Do not count his word as nothing, as a light thing. Don't trample it underfoot. It's a dangerous path. It's the mark of one who has crossed the deadline of his soul. One whom the Lord has stopped speaking to. What a solemn message this is. Herod's response, he mocked. There was derision. But you'll notice also in verse 11, there was not only derision, there was disinterest. For the final little phrase of verse 11 says, and sent him again to Pilate. When the Lord wouldn't entertain him with some miracle from heaven, when the Lord wouldn't answer him, he had no more interest in the Savior. He wanted to meet the Lord in his terms, but not Christ's terms. Oh, how many sinners want the same. They want Christ on their terms. You can't have it. You can't have salvation in your terms. It must be the Lord's. And whenever they realized he couldn't meet the Lord in his own terms, you just send him away. Send him back to Pilate. Let Pilate deal with him. He sent him back to Pilate for Pilate to judge and condemn him. One of the marks of a man or woman abandoned by the Spirit, whom the Son of God no longer speaks to, is that they have absolutely no interest in the gospel or the things of Christ. You always remember hearing the story. I think it's actually in one of Dr. Paisley's books in the early days of his ministry in the old Ravenhill Church. He marked that there were two women who came to the meetings. And one in particular was greatly troubled. She was disturbed. She was moved. She came week after week for a number of weeks. And he thought she was a sure candidate for God's salvation. It was evident the Spirit was moving upon her, striving with her. One Sunday night, she came back to the meeting, and Doc tells in the book how he noted a distinct change. She sat stony-faced through the meeting, unmoved. And on the way out of the old Ravenhill church that night, he asked her what had happened, and she told him that the Sunday night before, she was so troubled about her soul, she couldn't sleep. And in the early hours of the morning, so distressed was she that she got out of bed and she asked the Lord to leave her and to depart from her. She didn't want to feel that way anymore. And she said it, she told Dr. Peasley she'd never felt that way since it. She come that night to tell him she wouldn't be back to the meeting. She had no interest. She lived out her days with absolutely no concern for her soul or interest in salvation. Maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you're wondering, have I already crossed the deadline? Has the Spirit stopped striving? Has the Son stopped speaking? Let me tell you tonight, if you're in the house of God, you've an interest in the things of God, then I suggest to you that the Spirit is still striving with you, moving you to even be in the house of the Lord. But I warn you, do not continue to ignore the warnings of the Savior. Oh, sinner, the Savior and Spirit is striving with thee. What if he should strive nevermore? Leave thee alone in the darkness to dwell inside of the heavenly shore. There's one final thought I want to put to you this evening. We've considered the reason why the Lord was silent to hear it. We've considered the response to Christ's silence. But finally tonight, would you consider the result of Christ's silence? Because while we don't read any more of Herod, this Herod in the Scriptures, that is testimony in itself of the Lord's future dealings with them after Luke chapter 23. Now you will read of another Herod in Acts chapter 12. There was a reference to Herod who killed James and sought to kill Peter with the sword. That was Herod Agrippa, the brother-in-law of this Herod that we have read tonight. But Herod Antipas that we have read about this evening, that the Savior was silent to, the Bible records nothing more about him. But history tells us that he incurred the wrath of the emperor for alleged treason. He was encouraged by Herodias' wife, and he was dealt with by the Roman emperor. We're told in church history that he was banished to Lyon in France, and he died in misery and in exile from a horrible disease. We're also told that his stepdaughter died when her head was severed from her body in some accident that happened. She reaped what she sowed. Men and women, in closing tonight, let me sum up the ruin of Herod, the result of Christ's silence to him, by saying, when the Savior stops speaking, your life becomes insignificant, not worthy of record in the book of God. Not only had the Savior nothing more to say to this man, but the Word of God records nothing more of his life. A life that the book of God has no further interest in. And judgment is absolutely certain. You reject the Lord, you cross the deadline for your soul, then you will die in misery in the judgment of the Lord, and your soul will perish in hell for all eternity. Let me quote to you in closing. We're going to sing this hymn.